Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning, love cap dye. There's that beautiful walk along the rocks there, isn't there? And this in the spring sunshine, that'll be beautiful this morning. Love that part of the south of France.
Is that the same walk that Stelios desperately tries to avoid you when he sees you coming towards him?
No, so Stelios and I are pals, and we walk around the marina and discuss the outlook for the world. So it's always a pleasant exchange of views. And then I come to meet you, and it all goes downhill, it has to be said.
Well, thank you very much for those kind words. Well, talking about going downhill, markets took a bit of a tumble yesterday. Again, rising treasuries, concerns about inflation, and a series of new lockdowns in Europe are really giving investors the jitters.
It really was. Equities trading low, as you say, concerns over extended lockdown measures right across Europe, the prospect of prolonged travel restrictions weighing on risk sentiment. Cyclical sectors, perhaps no surprise, those that benefit from a reopening of economies felt the brunt of the selling. So weakness in autos along with travel and leisure. Similar picture on Wall Street. S&P 500 was down 0.8%. Airline shares fell the most since October. Although we should recognise it's the one-year anniversary of the S&P 500 bear market bottom. The index is up 75% from that level. So it has been a remarkable recovery, but certainly weaker yesterday. The dollar strengthened yesterday as risk aversion played out. Treasury yields fell for a second straight day, back to 1.6%. Remember last week, they're at 1.75%. This after Fed Chair Jerome Powell played down the risk that economic growth would spur unwarranted inflation. Oil traded below $60 a barrel in the session yesterday. Some concerns around supply to the market, where the market is becoming oversupplied, should I say, although the blockage in the Suez Canal could start to infringe upon supply distribution and may start to push up prices in the next couple of sessions, depending, of course, how long that blockade goes on for. In terms of markets, a risk averse yesterday, similar start to the trading session today. Currently calling the FTSE down 38 points, DAX over in Frankfurt down 81 points, CAC calling in Paris off 27 points.
Yes, it's a pretty big piece of kit, that container ship stuck across the Suez Canal, isn't it?
I mean, it's embarrassing. It's this marvellous feat of engineering, isn't it, that's changed global trade, and you're the captain of the ship who's brought that all to a standstill. It's not an ideal situation to find yourself in.
You might be looking for a new job.
You would imagine so.
Okay. WeWork, of course, had a disastrous year last year as everyone stayed at home during lockdowns, but so they're projecting big things for this year.
Yeah, they are. WeWork, to remind you, provides flexible shared workspace, lost $3.2 billion as the pandemic forced them to shutter its offices. Occupancy rates plummeted, and perhaps, again, no surprise, from 72% to 47%. Perhaps the surprise is it was still as high as 47%. The loss came despite a 98% drop in capital expenditure. Despite recent issues, WeWork is still trying to push ahead with a public offering, potentially through a special purpose acquisition company. According to reports, WeWork is seeking around $1 billion in new funding. We hope to go public with a valuation of $9 billion. That new valuation would be less than a fifth of the $47 billion WeWork sought when it initially announced plans for an IPO back in 2019. You remember those plans were derailed because of concerns around the company's finances, conflict of interest, and management culture that resulted in its founder and CEO stepping down. SoftBank, its largest shareholder, was forced to inject billions of additional funding to keep the company afloat. But WeWork apparently has been offering, as you say, some optimistic projections for the business going forward, talking about earnings of $485 million next year, 90% occupancy rate by the end of 2022, revenues of $7 billion by 2024.
Yes, do you miss your office at all? Are you looking for any office space?
Well, I do miss the office in some ways. There's some things that you don't miss, the commute, etc. But yeah, certainly working with people, being closer to people, that culture, I think. So I think we'll get to a point where it'll be a balance between what we had before in the office, 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, to something probably 2-3 days a week and a little bit more flexibility at home. Let's hope we get to that point.
Do you think your personal assistant misses you?
I wouldn't have thought so. She seems rather happy that there's some distance between us.
No, Mr. Potts.
You have a very outdated view of the modern working environment, it has to be said. Have you missed the headmaster? I know he's been away from the office. Have you missed his...
Don't worry.
Input
I've got a photograph of him on my wall to remind me of what he looks like.
Quite right.
So do you send her out for sandwiches and stuff? You know, go pop out to Pret.
No, going out for sandwiches. No, I do miss a bit of. I wouldn't mind some sushi. Pret is probably not doing particularly well. Has to be said. Interesting to see that Pret is deciding to move away from core city areas and focus on perhaps urban areas where more workers are likely to be. So certainly some changes coming through.
Sandwiches. You were always sneaking out for a sumptuous lunch, weren't you? You know, yeah, spatchcock chicken, all the trimmings.
You like that, didn't you?
Watching
you enjoyed
the world
that.
Going by.
The best meal you had and a little show to enjoy as well.
I should just remind you that Henk and I went out for lunch once in Canary Wharf. And
it's about 15 years ago now.
Is it that long ago? Yeah.
Maybe.
And while we were sort of enjoying our spatchcock chicken and a glass of wine, a couple of office workers proceeded to get extremely amorous right in front of us just down by the water, didn't they?
They did.
Young love.
Yes.
Right, moving back on to personal matters, so the US stimulus package and big plans for infrastructure, what's that going to involve, do you think?
Yeah, after enacting that $1.9 trillion relief plan, President Biden turning his attention to his economic recovery plan, likely centred around infrastructure investment and climate change, could come with a price tag as much as $3 trillion. Focus will be on boosting the economy, particularly around high growth future industries. So rolling out of 5G will be an important component of that, but also some of the traditional infrastructure, building roads, building bridges, upgrading the railroad will be an important component of that element, reducing carbon emissions, narrowing economic inequality is some of the things that we'll hear about. Plan is likely to be done in stages rather than one go. $1 trillion apparently earmarked for infrastructure investment and clean energy and likely to be the first on the agenda. The long-term economic plan is expected to be accompanied by revenue-raising exercise as well. So what does that mean? Probably higher corporation tax, higher levels of personal tax rates for the wealthy in the United States as well.
Yeah, it's not just the US that needs a major upgrade to its infrastructure. I mean, parts of Europe are crumbling. I mean, the French government's got big problems with its nuclear power stations, and the road and rail infrastructure, well, not so bad in France, but in Italy, we saw what happened to that. So that Genoa bridge collapse a couple of years ago, and actually quite a lot of the big bridges in France are sort of at risk as well.
Build Back Better is going to be the key, and Build Back Green. So these are things that we're going to hear an awful lot about. So far, what we've been seeing from governments is emergency measures to keep households, to keep businesses afloat. Increasingly, they'll be wanting to stimulate the economy, but in a way that generates future growth. And that's where this infrastructure investment is going to come in. So very targeted, very focused on that climate change agenda. Of course, something that's being debated in Monaco during the course of this week with the Ocean Week. And these are some of the areas that there's plenty of opportunities for investors in the coming years to take advantage of.
Yeah, they also need to look at how much stuff is shipped via these giant container ships, and also, you know, getting HGVs off the roads and using the rail infrastructure more widely.
Yeah, Warren Buffett certainly betting on the rail infrastructure was going to be important in terms of that transition towards cleaner energy and removing some of those emissions, and certainly appears to be the key. They need to upgrade those elements to make it a viable concept. We're certainly not at that point yet. And then you start to look at the post-pandemic world and the role of deliveries and particularly things like Amazon and online retailing, what impact that's having on the environment, and perhaps how you start to combat some of those after effects.
Bring back Casey Jones.
Who's Casey Jones?
You never used to watch Casey Jones when you were a nipper?
No. Casey Jones.
The train driver.
Oh, no. I was on European Squawk Box. CNBC. Brilliant.
Foreign exchanges.
Casey Jones. Pound against
a
dollar.
Steaming and a rolling.
1.37 euro dollar coming in at 1.185, just below 1.16 euro for your British pound this morning.
Yeah, pound's taken a bit of a tumble over the last couple of sessions, isn't it?
Has come off a little bit. UK inflation numbers actually pretty weak this morning, so perhaps that's starting to play into expectations around the threat of inflation and what that. You're right.
Sorry, I just dropped my notes.
Dear me. They're worth millions, those notes, aren't they? Be careful. So maybe we'll, no real threat of higher rates in the UK, perhaps playing through into sterling.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow.
Cheers.
Henk Potts from Barclays.